European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on November 21st, 1999. And this is our Thanksgiving Sunday that we're going to be praising the Lord. Let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you right now for the moments we have here today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present with us. And we thank you, Father God, for mighty work that you're doing in our lives right now. And we praise you, and we bless you. And Father, open a word to us today that we might live, and having lived, be victorious. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my seventh installment in Earth, God's University of Faith. And if you notice, I leave the top there the same for every week. Hopefully, you read it so we become part of you. And we have said every week that we are saved by grace, not by works. We are not saved by works whatsoever. It's all by grace. Ephesians chapter 2. But what we want to do is we're going to live because we have been saved. Let's just understand that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 it says we have been created for his work, for good works in him. So we do good works because we are saved and we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because we have been saved. Today we're going to get into the seventh commandment. And it's a very simple one, and yet there's much more that could be said about it when I got here. But this will be what the Lord, kind of an introduction to it, that is an understanding of, you shall not commit adultery. I want to take you, before we get into that, I want to take you right now to Genesis. And I want you to turn to chapter 19 with me. Chapter 19. And it became very clear to me today that not all people want to be saved. Not all people want to be delivered. And there are some people you simply have to leave behind. And there's really nothing you can do because they have made a choice. They do not want to change. In Genesis chapter 19, there's a story of Lot, his wife, living in Sodom. And we read from verse number 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. In other words, they laughed at him. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, notice now, most people, we want to procrastinate. We want to linger and not understand that when God talks about a judgment, when God talks about moving, he means now. He lingered. The men lay hold upon his hand, and they put a hand of his wife, and put a hand on his two daughters. The Lord being merciful, underline that, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass when he brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for your life. Look not behind you. Neither stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto him, oh, not so, my Lord. He didn't want to go to the mountains. This is a tragedy that many people, they suppose, well, I want to be delivered, but not that much. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to be a fanatic. Cost me just to get a little bit out. What a tragedy. I was watching a singing here today. Some of you sang your hearts out. Others sat here and just chewed gum. Others just sat here and just waited for the songs to get over. And I thought about a tragedy. Here we are. You are saved on your way to heaven. And you cannot even, some of us cannot even praise the Lord. What a tragedy. Behold now your servant has found grace in your sight. You have magnified your mercy which you have showed unto me and saved my life. And I can't escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Unbelief. Behold now, this city is near to flee out as a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And the angel said to him, see, I will accept you concerning thing also that will not overthrow the city for the which you have spoken. Haste to escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you become fitter. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered the Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone of fire for the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The story of Lot is a tragedy. And I want to bring this in before I preach on adultery. He was a man that came out with Abraham. His wife was not very strong in the Lord. He selected to leave Abraham and go to the city to fast life. When the angels came to deliver him, he got so upset that he simply said this. He said, I don't want to go to the mountains. I want it my way. He lost his wife. You see, some people despise their deliverance. Some people despise their salvation. And until Jesus comes, the testimony of Lot's wife, we don't even have a name on her. She became a pillar of salt. What happened to Lot? Not a whole lot. Sorry, I didn't mean to rhyme on it. He ended up with his two daughters that committed incest with him. And he became the father to two bad nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. They're going to give Israel trouble then and still giving them trouble today. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today and to me. And I just come to realize that I thought that everyone could be brought on board. Everyone could be rescued. Not everyone will. And when you despise God's deliverance, you will simply end up in a tulip someplace. not second best, not third best, not even fourth best, maybe the 100th best. And you can never change it. Guard the anointing. I warned you that many, many times. Guard the anointing. Because if you lose it, you might not get it back. In Exodus 20:14, I read it again. You should not commit adultery. Let's define what adultery is. I looked up Webster's definition. According to Webster, it is sexual intercourse between a married man and a woman, not his wife, or between a married woman and a man, not a husband. God considered adultery to be such a severe breach of the law that the sentence for a man or woman having committed this was sentenced to death. Turn to Leviticus 20, the book of Leviticus, the 20th chapter and verse number 10. That's Leviticus 20:10. And the man that commits adultery with another one's wife, even has committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. I'm going to be showing you here today what adultery does with sex desires in a marriage. But when God gave the law, God was not sentimental. He simply said there are certain things you don't do, and if you do them, there will be a judgment, swift and over with. He said adultery is a death sentence. How's the world react today? Well, adultery is not a crime anymore. It used to be a crime in America. It used to be a crime in England. Matter of fact, when you have divorce today, they have now in California got to the place where you don't have to show any cause. You simply say, you know, I'm sick and tired of my wife, I'm sick and tired of my husband, we just don't get along, and I say, fine, here, you're divorced. We're taking it very lightly. Very lightly. And what has happened to us? Our society has broken down. Our homes are destroyed. And if you really want to do a survey, you can go to all the prisons in California, all the prisons in the United States, and you will find that most men and women in prison came from broken homes. There are some that did not come from broken homes, but most of them come from broken homes. God knew the destruction of adultery in a human life. Thank God for Jesus. Turn to John 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And Jesus changed the law. He put in some forgiveness. I want you to know something. Before Jesus, they did not have forgiveness like we have it. That's when you ought to sing more and shout more when we praise Him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, we pick it up in verse number 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when he had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I don't know if you read this in the news or saw it in the news this week. I just wouldn't interject that. But in Afghanistan, you have the Muslims ruling there, Taliban. They are very crude, very rude. And this week they executed a woman that had been unfaithful. I think she had killed her husband. And to show you the mentality, they had filled a stadium, a sports stadium, with people, men, women, children. They brought this woman in. They had her dressed up in, you couldn't see her face, nothing. And they had only one executioner. And he had one of those Kalashnikov rifles. And then, in a little stadium, they just had to stand there. And then he riddled her with bullets. And people stood up and cheered and laughed, and children danced. It shows you how low the humans have. If someone is executed, we should be sad. We should be grieved that somebody is losing their lives. It's not a spectacle. But this is what they had in the times of Jesus. They were simply stolen publicly. They would have a whole pit, and they would gather a lot of people there. They would kill them right there. They said to the master, this woman was taken adultery, the very act. Now most of the law commanded such to be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, tempting him that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote to the ground, as though he heard them not. So when he continued asking, he would lift up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, then he first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. We do not know what he wrote. The Bible doesn't say that. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up himself and saw none but a woman, he said to her, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Notice not that Jesus did not condone adultery. He forgave. And then he said, go and sin no more. This is how we should view our own lives. We should not repeat the same sins over and over again. We should ask God, help us, forgive us, and help us we will not repeat these sins. I want to take you now to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. That's 1 Kings. Chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse number 1. I want to read from my outline first. When humans are engaged in sexual activity outside marriage, it gives Satan the right to place demons in the sinning couple. We've been ministering to people over many years, and I'm going to tell you this, that when someone is having sexual activity outside of marriage, if it is intercourse, pornography, masturbation, whatever it is, that gives Satan a legal right place evil spirit inside that body. People might not notice them when they come in, but it will be a change. I don't have time this morning to really give the whole impact on it. But I want to tell you this. We have a writing called the Kabbalah. Some of you don't know what a Kabbalah is, or the simplest one, I don't know what it is. Can you eat it with a spoon? No, you can't, but you can read it. The Kabbalah is the main writings, 550 books that were enhanced and enlarged by King Solomon, which is the foundation of all witchcraft, all Satanism, and it is the foundation for the Antichrist system, written 2,900 years ago, what he improved upon them, is still being written, or actually added to. Let's read. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites. Notice here now, the descendants of Lot are coming back. The Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations, concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods, small g's. Solomon clave unto these in love or lust. And he had 700 wives. If you have difficulty in your marriage, can you imagine having 700 wives and then add 300 concubines, which would be whores? And then look at this. And his wives turned away his heart. I want you to hear me now with the Holy Spirit. Solomon became the wisest man in the world. He was given permission to build the temple of God in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastics. In his young years, when Proverbs was written, we're going to look at one of these Proverbs today. Solomon was sharp. He knew exactly everything about God and how to get to God. But it's one thing he never did. He never did repent. But repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is to change. And say that you're sorry. Solomon clave to these in lust. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. I'm going to go a big step here today. All the mysteries that you see in the world today, with alcohol, drugs, rock and roll, rebellion, all the ugliness that you see, is going to be laid at the feet of King Solomon when he stands at the great white throne judgment. This one man was used by Satan to ferment the Kabbalistic system. devoured us. When the veterans came home after World War II, successful winning the war, God gave us prosperity. The generation born to them in the 50s and the 40s, we lost them to materialism. The grandchildren, we lost to drugs, pharmakia, and other things in the 60s and the 70s. And look upon the children today, they're losing them today. They look strange, they are following other gods, the rock music, the clothing, their behavior. And instead of following Jesus, they're drawn into the world. He came because Solomon did not understand the consequences of committing adultery. Then did Solomon build in high place of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning the thing that he should not go after the gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Demonic forces came into Solomon and destroyed him forever. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We never find a place in the Bible where Solomon repented. He died in his sins. He never was saved. There's never a place in the Bible where it says that Solomon asked for forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined in harlot or a whore is one body? For two, says he, should be one flesh. When we commit adultery, demons are coming in. Whatever is in the other person is shared with you. Whatever they have been around is shared, and the demons do back and forth. The tragedy is when a man or a woman comes home, the other spouse might not be unfaithful. But when a spouse comes home and is unfaithful, he will unload the demons in the other spouse. And then we have sickness and all kind of problems. But he who is joined, the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Satan wants your body. The demons love your body. You see, the demons do not have a physical body. And they in themselves cannot do these different things. But they love to take men and women, possess them, and then get their sexual desires fulfilled to these people. It's like you loan out your car and somebody's manhandling your car and destroying it and then giving it back to you. How many young people today in public schools do we have that when they reach the age of 18 are virgins, have not been with either men or women? Very few. What a tragedy. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. This kind of preaching is not going to give me a great pull in popularity, because like I said, everybody's doing it. But this is what Solomon, I want you to see what Solomon wrote before he was corrupted. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, the reproof of instruction in the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman. It could also be the evil man, because I've seen evil men. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let it take you with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goes in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her should not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals the side of his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, he shall give all the substance of his house. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. President of the United States of America, the current one, Bill Clinton, is an adulterer. The nation knows it. The world knows it. America says, who cares? The economy is great. But as you see that man on television, as you see him laugh and talk about issues, his soul is destroyed. Look upon him. He's not ashamed. He has no sense of righteousness. He laughs and carries on. How many more people like this do we have in America? What a tragedy. Now Solomon wrote this. God told him and gave him this. He simply said this: he that does it destroys his own soul. A wound of dishonor shall he get, this reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealous is a rage of a man, therefore he will not spare the day of vengeance. He will not regard the ransom, he will rest content to you give many gifts. We need to preach this. Fathers, you need to tell your children this when they're growing up. Mothers, you need to teach this to your daughters. We need to set examples. Don't give them your house God, which we say continually over. Because the house God is going to give nothing but filth and destruction. But you want to give them the word of God. Do people do it? Not really. Then Solomon said this in chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live in my laws and apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them on the table of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call them standing your kinswoman. That they may keep you from a strange woman, from a stranger who flatters with the words. Let me say this. The alcoholic, the drug addict, man who is addicted to pornography or the woman addicted to pornography. Let me tell you something. They are liars. This is spirit of deception. They lie to themselves. They lie to others. You can never trust a drug addict. You can never trust an alcoholic. You can never, they will cry, they would weep, they would lie, they would steal, they would tell you everything in the world. But they have one allegiance, and that is to the demon that is burning in their flesh. And we've seen it over and over again. There's only one way to break loose, to repent, to throw yourself fully at the cross, and ask for mercy, and ask for help. In verse 6, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple, which means people not too well educated, I saw among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went away to her house. In the twilight of the evening, in a black and dark night, and behold, I met him a woman with the attire of a heart and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn, her feet abide in the house. Now is she without, now she's in the street and lying waits in the corner. So she called him and kissed him. And with a beautiful face unto him, I have peace offered with me this day, I paid my vows. Therefore come I forth to me to diligently seek your face, and I found you. I deck my bed with coverings of tapers, with card work with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, let us soothe ourselves with loves. For the good man, that's her husband, is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him, and he will not come at home at the day appointed. With a much fair speech, he caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, he forced him. He goes after her straightway. As an ox goes to the slaughter, food to the corruption of the stocks. To the dart strike through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, knows not that it is for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her path. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Solomon wrote that as a young king. Did he follow it? No. He actually went to a house, and he went not with the physical death, but eternal death. The Holy Spirit showed me this, and I want to emphasize that again. Your television, the movies, you have your children there. There you have the men and the women, the nakedness, the destruction, the seduction. It starts out little John and Susan, 2 or 3 years old, and they see this play out, and it becomes to them something. This is life. And when they come up with a 14 and 15 and 60 years old, they have nothing to protect, and they do it. And then you say, oh my God, where did it come from? And God said, you gave it to them. But we don't understand. We have to clean our lives up and clean it up good. King Solomon did not follow the words that God had given him. He became seduced. How many people do you know that have been seduced? I'm sure every one of us know people that have been seduced. Some of you have been seduced at times, but praise God, you repented. Is there safety only in Christ? Over the years, I've had people in this church, in the other church that I've been, that simply came in, they were on fire, They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They went through deliverance. They spoke in tongues. They prayed in tongues. They were part of the intercessor prayer groups. They were just going full bore. And then, boom, they were seduced. Nowhere to be found today except in a house on the way to death. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Now, why is it that we are as stupid as fish? Men have been fishing for 10,000 years. You should think that the fish after 10,000 years are swallowing hooks, ending up with a frying pan. After 10,000 years, they should have a meeting someplace in the ocean and say, look, no more hooks. Don't believe that line when it comes down. Don't go for that looking good bait, because it will kill you. You can actually have a whole school of fish, and you can take them up one by one, and they do not have any discernment. How stupid they are. And you know, the demons have been working on human beings for about 9,000 years or something like this. And they use the same line again and again. The man walks up filled with a demonic voice and says, oh man, you look pretty. I never met someone like you. You are special. He only said that to 99 other women before you. Or the woman says, oh, you are handsome. I really like you. She only said it to 400 other men. And we all, I always hear when people come to get married, and that's a good thing, but I always have the same thing. They come in, walking hands in hands, and eyes just kind of glazed over, and they said, we're so in love. I said, good. But you want to get married? I said, good. Let's start doing some work on us now. And I said, Pastor, you don't need to work on us. We are not like anybody else. We are so in love. We are so perfect. We don't need any counseling. I said, I heard that before. From every couple coming in. And then you wonder where these star-struck young people that were so in love, where does all the hate and the anger and the words and the name-calling come 5 years later? Where did it come from? All of us can get seduced. We got to guard our anointing. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know, I was in a doctor's office the other day, and I talked to the doctor, and so we were talking about deception. And he brought up the name of Jimmy Swaggart. I think this guy's a Catholic. He's a good-looking guy, and he's, you know, very skilled. And so when I said, sir, I said to him, let me tell you something. Pornography is as addictive as alcohol, cocaine, crank, whatever it is. He said then, and he gave himself away. He said, not everybody. Some can handle it that are disciplined. I said, no one can handle pornography. You can't. Man or woman, it is something you can't handle. You simply don't want to see it. You want to turn away from it. Listen to Matthew 5:27. Remember this, we are as dumb as a fish. Jesus said, you have heard it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, and whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If you look at another woman, you have already committed adultery in your heart. If your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it's profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and that your whole body should be cast into hell. If your right hand or friend, you cut it off and cast it from you, for it is proper for you that one of the members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. Pornography has become death to America. 15 years ago or so, I received a phone call from a very sophisticated lady here in the city. She's not in this church, you don't know her. And she was a member of the Women's Aglow, which at that time was very prominent. And she was an officer, and she was old. Matter of fact, she was also a licensed minister in the Assembly of God Church. And she said, "Pastor Terrell, my marriage is on the rocks. My husband is simply destroyed by pornography." And she said, "Would you help me?" I said, "Well, why don't you go to the church where you are? Why don't you go to your pastor?" And she said, "Well, we couldn't go there because, you know, this man is next in line to the pastor. He runs the finances. He's a deacon. He's doing all the things, whatever he was." She said, "We could not go to our pastor." Our pastor. I felt compassion. I said, "I'll talk to him." This is not just the only man, but I'm going to give us an example. He came to my office. They both came down. These were not people in a lower level of society. These were upper crust people. These are people probably making a couple of about $100,000 or more a year, probably making $200,000 a year. They drove nothing but either Mercedes or Porsches, I don't know, but they had very nice cars. I couldn't even touch them. I didn't want to touch them anyway. And he had a successful business. So he simply said, "I am hooked on this." Now, in the Assembly of God churches, you can't have a demon because that's their doctrine. So I looked upon this very sophisticated man. There was a pillar in his church. It was a large church in his town. And I simply said, "You are full of evil spirits." And I said, "You need to have those four nights. You need to repent and change." At this time, he couldn't care about doctrine. He wanted to get rid of it because he realized he was being destroyed. So we took him for deliverance. And he was successful. He changed his life. And they went back to the church and kept all the money in their church. That's a tragedy. That's why we are so poor in this church. We have too many people. And they said, "This is after we help us." They said, "Thank you very much. May God richly bless you. And I'm going to go back to my home church." It's a side issue. But this man was destroyed. And I've seen person after person. Let me tell you this because I want to get this on tape. I want to get this on video right now for the future. It started innocent, looking at maybe just some internet, some pictures, some magazines. And then, because he's consumed, gets more and more involved. And after a while, it is not enough to read the pornography. Now, you got to go and find a prostitute or somebody to act it out. And after people have been doing that, then that is not enough. And then the next step is rape, murder, pillaging, and destruction. It's a fire that you can't extinguish. It has to be destroyed. Turn to Revelation 19 now. Revelation 19. You must say, "Well, I'm getting depressed." Well, if you are not into this, then don't eat this dish. Praise God you're not in it. Pray for those that have problems, but we need to know this. In Revelation 19:5, I want to tell you who we are. It says there, And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all your servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard the word, the voice of a great mountain, as the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God of heaven reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous of the saints. And it's in thee right, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. Now, I want to talk about spiritual adultery. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. If you want to pick it up in verse 1. That's James 1, 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even though you lust of war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight the war. Yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulteresses. You adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Over the years, how many times have we as Christians been unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think the scripture says in vain? The spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. God does not want to share us with any demonic entity. I pray to God that you will hear what I'm saying today through the Holy Spirit. When you go to the movie house, when you sit in front of that television and you turn on an ungodly program, what you're doing is that you're simply saying this, Father God, I'm sorry, I'm going to take a break from you right now. I'm going to fornicate with these demons. And then when they have entertained me, I'm going to do my morning prayer. Think about it. Think about it. I would say this, that this is probably the hardest time to live in, with the movies, the videos, television, the printed and all the other things. We are bombarded with it. Have you not understood how to break loose? Here's what James says. He says this, submit yourself, verse 7, therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted in the morning and weep, but your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Are you willing today, having understood this, maybe now, maybe God has opened your mind to say, listen, Father God, I want to clean up my life. I don't want to commit adultery. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read this. 1 Corinthians 10, 18. Behold, this is the letter of the flesh. son of David into the sacrifices, partake of the altar. What say I then, that the idols of the thing that which is offered in the sacrifice of anything? But I said the things which is Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Some people say, well, only watch old movies. But what did they do with the old movies? They lied. They drank. They divorced. They beat people up. Did they lift up the name of Jesus in these old movies? So we're just fooling ourselves. There's nothing in the world. There is nothing in the world that we can have. Look in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord or the cup of devils. You cannot eat partakes of the Lord's table, the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? That's where we are sick. That's where we have confusion. God wants us all by himself. Quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. God is not sentimental. He's going to do what he has to take. In verse number 16, we read this. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abomination provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to the devils, not to God, to gods that they knew not, to new gods that came newly up from your fathers, fear not. Of the rock that beget you, you are unmindful, and has forgotten God that formed you. And the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because it provoked of his sons, of his daughters. Let me ask you ladies something here today, and don't raise any hands. Some of you have faced husbands that have been unfaithful. When you found out that your husband had been to another woman, when he was in pornography or something else, did you say to him, I'm going to fix you a favorite dinner. I would just fix you a nice meal. Did you smile at him? No. You were angry. You were heartbroken. You wanted to cry. You wanted to scream. You were devastated. And if you men had women, I've done it to you. You know how it feels. This is how God feels when you and I turn from him and we begin to get intimate with demonic entities, with sin in the world, and we huddle with the devil's crowd, and he's standing there and he's looking down, and he said, they provoked me to jealousy. Some of you gave your husbands ultimatums. Some of you gave your wives ultimatums. And you said, one more time, and you're out the door. One more time, this is it. God does not want you and me to commit spiritual adultery. Turn to Psalm 51 as we close this. Psalms 51. Okay, just close the tape then I will finish you anyway. Let the camera roll. In Psalm 51, we read this. And this is King David. After he had committed adultery, murdered the husband, and lied and cheated. And this is what he said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Have in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit, the Holy Ghost. Did God forgive King David? Yes, he did. King Solomon never asked for it. King David went to heaven. King Solomon went to hell. And the two shall never meet again except in the judgment seat of God, the great white throne. As we close today, those of you watching me by video or hearing me by tape, I want you to know something. This message will stay available for people for years to come. If I've been touching you through the Holy Spirit today, would you read Psalm 41? If you don't have a Bible, it might be that the Antichrist has come. Some of you might have got a hold of a tape or something, and you simply says, oh God, I'm guilty. I got good news for you. All you have to do is to say, Father God, forgive my sins. I want to change. I want to turn. Now. Forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And help me to break this relationship of sin. And God will help you. If there are no Bibles around, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. If you don't have a church, God will give you a church. Maybe just you and Him. He might lead you to somebody else. But most of all, turn to God today and know that God loves you and He wants you to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Praise God.